In this year's tax season, many federal employees will discover that even if they got a pay raise, they won't be keeping much of it. It has to do with a little thing called FICA. Joining me with the hideous details, federal benefits expert Tammy Flanagan. And Tammy, I guess federal employees are learning they're just like all Americans when it comes to the tax system.
Yeah, I guess so, Tom, because most federal employees today are under the Federal Employees Retirement System, which means, of course, they pay into Social Security and do pay that FICA tax. And this year, I noticed when I was updating all the numbers for 2017 that I saw a pretty big jump in the amount of income subject to the FICA tax for 2017. So for higher salaried employees, they're going to notice that they have to pay that tax longer into the year than what they did last year and the year before. So that maximum taxable wage base for 2015 and 2016 stayed the same at $118,500. What that means is that if you have a salary that's higher than that amount, if you're fortunate to have a salary more than $118,500, in 2015 and 16, you got to stop paying the tax when your salary reached that level. Well, this year for 2017, that $118,500 number jumped up to $127,200, which in the whole history of Social Security, we've never seen a jump that was that much more of taxable wages for the coming year. So I guess the silver lining is that maybe that's going to bring in more revenue to help shore up the Social Security system, but at the expense of higher salaried employees.
This change is not something Social Security can do or the IRS can do. This requires an act of Congress, correct?
Well, the change is determined by the actuaries that work at Social Security that determine what the average indexed wage is and what the average U.S. wage is from one year to the next. And for the 2015-16, the reason why that never went up was because there was no COLA, there was no cost of living adjustment on Social Security benefits, which by law precluded them from increasing the average wage. So when there was that little 0.3% COLA this year, that allowed that average wage index to go up to reflect the increase in wage amounts from not only just 2016 to 17, but going back to 2015. So it was 2 years of frozen wages that they added in. So I guess there was some rhyme or reason to that. So it wasn't just a number pulled out of the hat, and Congress really wasn't behind it because I think a lot of people want to see that wage increase go up even higher than what it did this year to bring in much more tax revenue. But it was a normal increase, but we're just seeing basically a 2 year jump in wages.
Okay, so yes, to clarify then, it didn't take a specific act of Congress. It was simply this is what would happen under law with
exactly.
A certain amount of inflation.
That's right.
And so what does this mean in terms of dollars paid out to FICA for people?
Yeah, so for employees who make that higher salary range, the difference between the $118,500 and the $127,000 means that there's going to be a lot more of their income that's subject to that tax. It's over $4,000 more income they have to pay the tax on, which is going to be an increase of $252 in FICA taxes that they'll be paying this year. So even though federal employees did get a pretty nice pay increase for 2017 compared to the last, 8 to 10 years, it's going to be a little bit eaten up by this additional FICA tax for those higher salaried employees.
And so looking at a federal pay scale table, if you go from, say, 118 to that 130, you'd have to be all the way at the GS-15 level to start with.
Yeah, probably above a 14, because if you look at the January pay schedules that took effect this year, for let's say D.C. area employees in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, you get above that maximum taxable wage base this year when you're at a GS-14, right around the GS-14 step 5 or 6 level and above. Are those employees who are fortunate to have those higher salaries where they stop paying the FICA tax towards the end of the year. There's a flip side to that, because I know lower salaried employees are going to say, well, that's not fair. Why do they get to stop paying the tax, whether it's in November or October, that their pay exceeds that wage base? But then on the flip side, when employees who have higher wages go to claim Social Security when they're 62 or 67 or whatever they decide to claim the benefit, Social Security computes your benefit based on a lifetime of wages. So, for example, if you were going to retire in 10 years from now and Social Security made a list of your wages, including, let's say, 2017 salaries, You might be somebody who maxed out the pay scale at $161,900, but yet Social Security would only give you credit for earning $127,200, the amount that was taxed. So as much as it sets a limit on the tax that you pay, that taxable wage base also sets a limit on the benefit that you're going to receive later on. So there is a maximum Social Security benefit each year based on those maximum wages. So for instance, in 2017, if you were the full retirement age this year for Social Security, which would be somebody who's 66 years old in 2017, the most they would receive in Social Security benefits is $2,687 a month. That's the maximum benefit for someone who always paid in at the maximum pay rate every year of their career.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, financial and federal benefits expert. That means that if you are at that maximum payout benefit, you might as well get it.
Count on living on it, right? Because if you're making $160,000 a year and you retire and the only thing you have is Social Security, that $2,687 a month is not going to go very far in replacing your income. So higher salaried employees, more so than lower salaried employees, really need to focus on saving for retirement and setting aside as much savings as they can, because that Social Security benefit is going to replace a smaller portion of their pre-retirement income than it would for someone who was working at a lower salary.
And nobody wants to spend their golden wedding anniversary at the Waffle House, that's for sure.
That's right, especially if they were living it up at the Ritz, prior to their retirement.
Now, just given the bigger financial picture, there's been this run-up in stocks in the last couple of months. What's your advice for people with respect to their 401ks or their TSPs coming ahead in 2017?
I'm not a certified financial planner, but using the common sense method of planning for retirement and investing for retirement, if you pick a good mix of investments, whether you're getting closer to retirement, you're being a little more conservative, or whether you're back in the early part of your career where you're saving everything in the stock market because you can withstand the ups and downs of the market, no matter what the market's doing today, it's going to do something different tomorrow. So stay the course, stay diversified. Don't try to time the market, because nobody can do that. Even the people up on Wall Street have tried for centuries, and very rare is it that they are correct. So, pick a mix of stocks and bonds and government securities. You have those five choices to choose from within the thrift, so it's not that difficult. And if you're not sure of how to mix it up, pick one of the life cycle funds. Those are managed for you. They are reallocated through every 3 months, and they're rebalanced every single day. And that's the easiest way to manage your investment for retirement, is just to pick a life cycle fund based on your time horizon, which means based on when you want to start using the money, whether it's in 2030 or 2040 or even all the way out to 2050. And the TSP will have that allocated for you based on that time horizon.
Lots to do, lots to plan about. Let me just ask you one final question. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of any situation where someone could get a raise but take home less because of that FICA tax increase?
Well, the FICA tax increase itself would not cause them to take home less, because they're still going to get a pay increase that's more than the amount of the increase to their FICA tax. So they'll still see a pay increase. But there's other factors, like if you have perhaps your health plan may have increased their deductible or increased their catastrophic limit or even changed the way they pay for prescription drugs. So if during the open season you didn't pay attention to the changes to your health plan, that could offset the increase to your salary, especially if you're not in the best of health. So there's other factors, the cost of living adjustment or the January pay raise for employees didn't necessarily offset your own cost of living for 2017. So you have to look at the whole picture, not just that one factor.
Tammy Flanagan is a financial and federal benefits expert. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Find this interview and much more pay and benefits coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.